Welcome to OK Sis. We are two cultural observers
and curious minds who happen to be related.
I'm Scout.
And I'm Maddie. Get ready for some serious sororal energy
as we chat about and comment on one another's current fixation of the week.
Ready, sisters? Hello and welcome back to OK Sis. My name is Maddie.
And I am Scout, and we are sisters IRL, and this is OK Sis. I feel like you've really fucked me over with this intro. You used to just say, hi, it's Maddie, and then I would say, and it's Scout, the sisters behind OK Sis podcast.
In what way, in what world would I not introduce the podcast without saying its name?
Because that was my job, and then now I'm just like, hi, I'm Scout. You know, I don't know what to say next.
This is what you say. Hi, I'm Scout. Older sister to Mads. Okay. Okay, sisters IRL.
Okay. Hi, I'm Scout. Older sister to Mads. Sisters IRL. And welcome to the weekly podcast where Mads and I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Why did you just give away our secret?
I don't know. Because I feel like people have been following us. I feel like they deserve to know. They deserve to know.
Hey, Scout, do you like my new glasses?
I do. You said they were blue light. I don't really know what blue light does other than,
Blue light protects our fragile eyes against the inevitable screens, the perpetual screens that we are looking at constantly all day. Okay, hold on. The reason I took the plunge, because I have glasses and I have reading glasses that help with, you know, just to make me see a little better and lessen the headaches. But there was one day where I just was looking at, I mean, we all are looking at screens constantly, but there was just one specific moment where my eyes felt like there was internal bleeding. Like I could feel something happening where it was like on fire. And that's when I took the plunge. I said, you know what? My eyes are fragile. My eyes need longevity, and I need to take care of them. I take care of every part of my body except for my eyes, apparently. So I went to Warby Parker, walked over, flung open the door, and said, give me some blue light. I also wanted to look like a grandma because I'm always in the state of trying to look like a grandma and a blob. And so needed tortoiseshell circular glasses. So now I'm achieving grandma status blob.
Are they even prescription?
Yes, they have my prescription.
You are the funniest person. Yeah, you are the funniest person. You've been wearing glasses for so long, and you are literally the last person who actually needs glasses. I'm blind by the DMV. If I went into the DMV and they gave me an eye test without my glasses, I would not have my license. Do I drive with glasses? No. Do I wear glasasses? No.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't even have contacts. You're not actually legally blind. You would need contacts.
2 years ago, my optometrist was like, do you want contacts? Because you are ready for them. I'm technically...
You are ready.
I should be wearing contacts on a daily basis, but I'm terrified of contacts.
Oh my God. I'm fearful for the human beings that are living their lives around you, in the exact radius around you. You're going to be knocking over things. You're not going to know where you're going. People are going to get run over. This is bad.
Yeah, no, driving at night is actually dangerous. I wear my glasses then, but I haven't had a prescription upgrade in 2 or 3 years. And so my glasses now give me headaches because my eyesight has progressively gotten worse. And so I need to go to the optometrist and get an updated prescription.
I wish you well. You know, I'm not coming near you.
Add it to the fucking list. Add it to my fucking to-do list. You know,
yeah. You know what? The running to-do list, literally never ending.
Yeah. So I am currently reading this Jessica Simpson's memoir. And I started
Heard great things.
Yeah. So have I. I've heard really good things about it. And I started it, and it's really good. It's really well written. She really gets raw and completely shows a side of herself that it just goes to show that with celebrities, they have a certain image that is crafted, and the person behind that image is completely different. But it's just so crazy because there's this one chapter where she talks about trying out for the Mickey Mouse Club, and she makes it to, like, the round where they send you to Orlando, to Disney World, and She's like, yeah, this guy was like jumping around, making a ruckus. And he came up to me and he's like, hi, I'm Justin Timberlake. And then I turned around and I saw the cutest guy ever. And then there was Ryan Gosling. And then this little petite girl walked in and it was Christina Aguilera. I'm like, it is.
Oh, no, I heard she like spills tea. Like she leaves no stone unturned. Not sure if that's the right reference, but she literally will. She speaks about every aspect, the whole John Mayer thing. I'm so interested in and curious about.
I'm not that far in, but it's just incredible to hear that they, in one room, all of these actors at the age of 10 or 12 were all together and they would all go on to be mega superstars. It's just so insane. Like to be in that room and see a baby Justin Timberlake, Ryan Gosling, Christina Aguilera, and Jessica Simpson, and then Britney Spears walks in, crazy.
I'm surprised that all of those people you just mentioned, with the exception of Britney Spears, have their mental health like pretty in check, like for being part of Hollywood for that long. Like that is actually really surprising.
I was thinking about that too.
Or at least it seems like it. It seems like it. We don't know what's going on behind
closed doors.
Jessica
Simpson did not. She starts the book with her being a complete alcoholic. So
it's
really sad, but it's a really good book and I highly recommend.
Wow, amazing. I love this bibliophile update that we give. I think we should do this more often. This week I read The Comeback by Ella Berman, and we discussed it on me and Kenzie discussed it on her podcast, the I Love You So Much podcast. She's been doing a book club bonus episode every month, which is just like my heaven. I am always in pursuit of becoming a book influencer. It is probably my one true calling, and I need to lean into it a little more, and this is the first step. So we talked about this book. It's a very large leap from the romance novels I was engrossed in for the past 2 months and the reason I became viral on TikTok. But this book is essentially about young Hollywood. It's a young starlet who grows up in Hollywood as a child actress, and she is a muse for this older gentleman, a director who is very well known and established in the entertainment industry, and he ends up sexually abusing her as she's growing up in this world, and it's essentially her breaking point of how this trauma persists and lingers throughout her young life. She's only 21 and she has had incredible trauma to process and understand very alone, because she has abandoned her family in this pursuit for fame. And it's a really harrowing story, but it's also incredibly written. Ella Berman, it's her first novel. I was actually DMing her on Instagram, and she knows one of our cousins, I'll tell you later, which was like such a small world.
I saw that in the DMs. I was like, what is going on?
I know. The fact that I like am second degree from an author. Also, I just love DMing authors because they are just so down to talk to you because you're like promoting their book, and it's just so wild because you're in their heads while you're reading this book, but you're not. But then you're like, oh my God, you created these characters that I've been with for the past couple days. Like it's such a weird concept to me. Regardless, it's her first novel. She had firsthand experience with abuse, or at least witnessed it when she was in the music industry. So she just took what she learned and applied it to the film industry. And she actually wrote this before the Me Too movement. Obviously, sexual harassment and abuse has been going on for a long time. So it came more apparent after the Me Too movement. But she wrote this before all that. So
it's so interesting because in Jessica Simpson's book, I read earlier that she talks about her abuser as well. But Jessica actually was abused by a woman, like a girl that was 2 years older than her, for years. Every summer when her family would visit, this girl was being abused by a man. And so this girl then abused Jessica Simpson. And that is such an interesting, in a terrible way, situation, because it's not one that you hear about.
Yeah,
you don't hear about girl on girl sexual abuse.
That is, that's fascinating, because definitely in The Comeback, it's not a story we haven't heard before, unfortunately. Yeah. Like I was reading it and I knew exactly what's about to happen, and that didn't take away from the the gravity of the book and how incredible the storytelling was, but you could definitely see how just even minor influences over young minds can completely destroy your psyche, destroy your spirit and every relationship around you. You turn to drugs and alcohol, and it's really depressing. I also would like to say, if you have suffered from sexual abuse or have trauma, and I would not recommend reading this book. I'm just going to put that
it's
out there.
It's triggering.
It's extremely triggering. I really would not recommend it. That being said, if you do want to read a book and really understand the inner workings of how trauma persists, I would recommend it. And then I would listen to Kenzie and my breakdown of it on the I Love You So Much podcast. It's out today. And yeah, I mean, it was definitely like a new book. I was literally reading porn before, and so now it was interesting to go back into this like serious type of book. It's also a really amazing ode to Los Angeles. Everyone knows that I love Los Angeles, and I always have to defend it on this podcast. So it obviously touches on the dangerous parts of it, of course, the film industry and what happens to young women in it. But it also touches on really beautiful aspects.
This is like a really fucking long analysis of this book. I'm done. I am tired. Now I have a headache. I'm done.
Okay, that's really rude. But anyways, if you want to learn more, you can listen to Kenzie.
Yeah, let's go over to I Love You So Much to listen about this book. I don't want to hear anything else about this book, but I will listen to your episode with Kenzie because I love Kenzie and I love you.
Thank you. Thanks for the support, Scout.
Yeah, well, I mean, you were just kind of rambling a little bit. I had to be the one to say, okay, let's move along.
You know what?
Here.
As we have been given feedback, people are enjoying the rambles, the ramblings.
Really? Because somebody wrote on our podcast reviews that our intros sometimes are a little bit rambling and random. It was constructive criticism. So thank you. I appreciate it. But we need to decide internally if that's our thing or not.
I have not seen this said review, but all I've been hearing is our intros are superb. Here you fucking go. Here are intros from us. Okay.
Okay, well, I am in the process of moving. I am moving in 2 weeks, so I'm getting my things ready. I've got all my furniture ordered. My couch comes this week, so I'm going to move it into the new house, and I went to go visit it today. The walls are painted white. All the furniture is out, so it's a clean slate, and I am getting so excited to live in a house. Like, not an apartment.
Wild.
Not an apartment, a house.
With a backyard, I mean, whoo, how lucky are you?
Yeah, I'm really stoked. I'm feeling really good about it. I got a really pretty couch, which Mads, you're going to love. Haven't sat on it. I know it's a rookie move, but we'll see how it goes. Actually, don't know if it's returnable, so that's good news
Jesus
for me.
Christ.
But yeah, that's going to be my next 2 weeks, is really just moving into this house and getting settled and not, you know, learning from experience from you. Also, like, as you know, when you move into a new space, you have to buy a lot of things, especially because we're moving into a place twice as big. So there's all these things you have to buy, and you really need to prioritize the budget. Like, what's spending priority number one, number two, number three? And what can you, even though you want the place to be perfect within the first month, you know, like, what can you really let go and be like, in January, we'll take care of that corner, you know?
Yeah, it's really tricky because I am of the mindset where I want everything to be set up right away, and I don't like to be living in a home where it's mismatched or like certain things aren't there yet. Some people are of the opposite mindset where it's like a home should be added to and lived in and da da da, and it's like an ongoing process. No, I want it to be a catalog. I want to be in it with everything. That being said, it's like, yeah, you order furniture, some takes longer. So I think
A lot is back ordered right now too, because
so
of COVID.
Much,
like,
is back ordered.
Everything. I want this desk, but it's back ordered till January.
Yeah. Oh fuck. No, that's wild. Oh my god. 2021 is a real year? Question mark.
Yeah. Okay. 2021.
So no, I know. I mean, we just got our media console, and then the last thing to come is the coffee table, and then your girl is gonna be posting a house tour on Reels because it has been in high demand.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I haven't even seen your apartment yet. I want the tour. I'm trying to get the tour. I'm getting it in little pieces, but I haven't gotten. Yeah. Yes. So I'm looking forward to seeing your apartment. I need to come up to LA to check it out because it looks gorgeous from the photos. You're living your best mirror life. I am trying to find a good mirror, and it's a hard quest.
It is a very hard quest. The one that we got was custom because I did not like any of them on the market. I'm a big mirror whore, and I'm very specific about my mirrors. So I had to get it custom.
Yeah. Okay. I actually found a really cute one from CB2. I'm going to send it to you. And I also really like that mug you posted on our Instagram. Love it. Also my reel did really good. The one that you said, oh, at least like you kind of got the moves right. People really liked it.
Of course people really like it because they support you and they love you. I'm just a little confused.
Do you not?
Like,
do you not?
When I definitely support and love you. I'm just confused why you think that a TikTok dance is something you can kind of pick and choose what you do. Like, you understand you are supposed to dance the moves to a T. You're not supposed to. It's not up to interpretation. And that is what bothers me.
It's entirely up to interpretation on this end. Everything's up to interpretation for me. And if you think I'm going to follow those rules, there was a move I didn't really like, couldn't really master it. My body looked weird. So I did one that, you know, I did a little version that worked for me.
It was like a salsa version of this like very common TikTok move. And it is so bizarre. Like from an avid TikTok consumer, I'm just letting you know that people are going to watch that and be like, this woman is doing salsa. Like, what is she doing?
Yeah, I'm an innovator. I'm a trailblazer. Oh,
okay, all right. We'll label it as that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, sisters, if you like listening to OK Sis, we have a secret Facebook group, OK Sisters. It's popping off in there. And you can also follow us on Instagram at OK Sis Podcast. And if you like this podcast, which I think you do because you're listening, we would super appreciate a 5-star rating and a review. And you can even text an episode or your favorite episode to a friend. Super fun way to spread the wealth. And we have a newsletter. And if you just go to the link in our show notes, it'll send you to the place where to sign up. Every single Monday, we pop into your inbox with some inspirational quotes, some products that you guys might like, a little note from Mads and me, as well as a recap of the guest of the week. So that's our little housekeeping spiel.
Speaking of guest of the week,
we got Tracy on.
We have Tracy Shiar. She is the founder of She Just Knows. I'm sure you have seen her all over Instagram. She's kind of been part of like the Instagram influencer ecosystem for as long as I've been on Instagram. I don't know. I always think of her when I think of like a very specific aesthetic, and she's one of the OGs.
Yeah. And I'm actually wear her necklace literally every day. It's a gold pendant, rectangle pendant that says S, and I'm obsessed. But we really get into new motherhood when we recorded this. Her daughter was 7 weeks old, which is really insane. And we talk a lot about what it's like to be a new mother in quarantine, as well as some of the products that she's loving for motherhood, her take on following mommy bloggers to follow or not to follow, which I thought was really interesting. And then obviously we get into the one of a kind bespoke jewelry, as well as apparel, kind of fashion line that she runs, which is also incredible. So I like to say that she's just real. Like, she doesn't give a fuck. She's not chasing followers. She doesn't really care what you think about her. Like, she's here, she's doing her own thing, and she's creating really beautiful pieces in the process.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself, sister.
Yeah. So enjoy, sisters. Tracy Shiar graduated from the University of Arizona and got right into the fashion industry. She began her career at the bottom as a cashier at LA's famous Kitson LA boutique on Robertson Boulevard. She quickly moved up to become the beauty, cosmetics, skincare, and home and gift buyer for their 14 locations, and after 2 years left to learn more about women's fashion. It was at Forever 21 that she became a merchandiser, senior buyer, and product developer for their global women's apparel department. Her work has been featured on Vogue.com, Who What Wear, BuzzFeed, Refinery29, Jimmy Kimmel, and on the apps of Kylie Jenner and Kim Kardashian West. In 2015, Tracy started She Just Knows, which began as a lifestyle media company. Through at She Just Knows, Tracy shares her curations and inspiration, works as a consultant with brands and influencers, and shares her wealth of knowledge of the fashion industry. With an audience of roughly 50,000 followers on social media and thousands of subscribers to her newsletters, her influence is now global. February 2019 marked the beginning of Shop She Just Knows, a highly curated online shop. With a goal to offer items that aren't on the market at an affordable price, Tracy's creativity translates into wearable and unique pieces as she makes and designs items for the shop. Without further ado, Tracy.
Oh my gosh, hey. That makes me sound way cooler than I actually am.
Oh my God, I think
you're pretty goddamn cool.
I have never heard it all like that, even though my husband wrote all that about me.
Well, you better believe it, because you're obviously a very accomplished woman and a mother, new mother, which we're going to get into.
Yeah, she's 7 weeks.
7 weeks. Damn, you are in the thick of it.
Totally. Oh my gosh. I've known her forever, so it doesn't feel like that different of a life, because she's just a part of, you know, everything where you were already doing. So
it's so true. And I actually think that's actually a really profound statement. I mean, you are carrying this human inside of you for 9 months, and it's like, oh yeah, like I know you, like we've been together this whole time.
Yeah.
Like what's up?
For sure.
Not even 9 months. Like you always think of your children, like your whole life. Yeah, you're like, exactly. Oh, when I meet them, you know, and then they come true and you're like,
right.
You're real.
It's so weird. Like the day I was, sorry, my dog. The day I was in the hospital going into labor, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the day you think about if you want to have children, you know, your whole life is what is my labor going to be like or whatever. And I was like, this is that day that I've literally been thinking about since I understood what that meant. And like, here it is. And I'm having this child that I've dreamt of my whole life. And like, so it's a really interesting time to kind of reflect and see that, you know, we're in that stage of life, mm-hmm. and it's actually all happening. And I'm still not sure I'm like old enough or mature enough, but because I feel like I'm 21 still. But
are you, so backstory, I met you or was connected with you via one of my best friends, Naomi, because you guys went to college together.
Yep, we were in the same sorority.
Yeah, yeah. So Kappa Kappa Gamma, I totally visited. Maybe I saw you.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm sure you did.
I was totally blacked out. She shows up to work with the cutest pendant that says N. And I was so fixated on it. I was like, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen. And when you sent me the S, I think my life was complete.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so happy. So that's how I know you. And Mads has just been following you. I don't know where Mads found you.
Yeah, but. I really don't know where the impetus was, but I've known you and I've followed along your life. You know, how weird is that to say? Like,
I know, but it's so like normal now.
I know.
But also still feels weird when it comes out of your mouth, because I feel like I say that about people too. And I'm like, oh yeah, like there's your dog, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, like I know.
I know.
But you feel like creepy, but you shouldn't. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wait, where do you live? Because this house behind you is gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. I live in Marina Del Rey. This is my living room, sitting at our bar thing.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. We live by the beach. It's so nice.
Amazing. Okay, yeah. We'll get into everything She Just Knows, but first let's start with current fixations. Scout.
Okay, so my current fixation, I can't believe this took this long for me to uncover this, but I was with my client and she was like, oh, we were talking about quarantine. She's like, I don't go to the grocery store. I was like, well, then how do you get your groceries?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, the Amazon Prime app with Whole Foods. I was like, excuse me? Like, I always knew that it,
but isn't that, is it so expensive like regular Whole Foods?
I am telling you right now.
It hurts my heart to shop at Whole Foods.
No, 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 no.
No.
Here's what the deal is. I spend maybe 20 extra dollars.
So
right now I'm ordering all my groceries on the Amazon Prime app and they show up 2 hours later at my doorstep. I don't have to walk into a grocery store.
You're lying.
I swear, you also live in
San Diego. Do they have everything you need?
They have everything I need. I get a week's worth of groceries on my app. Produce, meat, kombucha, oat milk, frozen fruit, regular fruit.
Okay, we don't need the whole.
I didn't know that.
Listen, I wake up on a Saturday and I just go into the app and I type in everything I want. And then I press deliver. And it's free delivery, guys. F-R-E-E.
How much do you think you spend?
Okay, so I spent this last time, I spent $130 for the week for me and my husband. And if okay, this is my case for it. If I did not go on my app and buy groceries for the week on Saturday, I would have pushed it off till Monday and I would have eaten out for 2 days straight, which would have
spent
in turn
$130.
Cost right. Way more than a little bit extra of the whole
thing. How
Foods
are you
cost.
Getting by on $130 a week? I spend $180 and it's only me.
Well, are you buying fillets?
Yeah. Like, do you not know how to grocery shop?
I think I'm doing something wrong because, like, I literally went to Ralph's the other day and I spent $180.
Okay. I am going to show you what I purchased.
Okay. Great.
It's great.
Yeah, I've heard of this, and also my friend does it, but for some reason I just didn't believe it, or like didn't yeah, think
right.
it was a reality.
I have an aversion to it, and I don't know why.
Yeah,
me too. But then when I realized that my groceries just show up, and then if they can't find it, like if they're out at Whole Foods, they'll send you a text, and you
That's
just
really
click
nice.
Your substitution, or you say just forget about it real quick.
That is
you know,
super amazing.
I think in the beginning of quarantine, my husband tried to do it and just like everything was out. So we kind of gave up. So maybe we should try again because now they probably have like a handle on it. But we did it like the middle of March. I think we tried
oh,
and
no.
it was like you
no,
couldn't
no.
get
yeah.
anything.
No.
So yeah. now they've maybe like figured it
oh,
out.
Oh, yeah. The grocery stores are stocked now.
Like, try it again.
Like,
do you remember when the shelves were empty?
Remember when there was no toilet paper? I walked in, there was an abundance of toilet paper. It's just
and paper towels.
Yeah, it's like we're all back. It's not, we don't have to wait outside in a line anymore. Like,
well,
we're stocked.
I recommend doing your grocery shopping on the Amazon Prime app. Great. You tip the guy $5, free delivery, done.
Okay.
Amazing.
Thank you.
We love it. Okay, my current fixation. So as the sisters are aware, I get all of my trends and products and newfound identities.
I'm excited
from
to hear this.
TikTok.
Oh,
little,
my God.
The little app called TikTok.
I thought you were going to, like, introduce me to some, like, goop but not goop or okay. something.
No, okay. Tracy. It's
well,
just fucking TikTok.
It's a specific. No, TikTok.
How old
no,
are you? How old are you?
I am 20. I'm a ripe age of 26 years old.
Okay, so you're still a little bit too old for TikTok.
Oh, I'm absolutely too old. Tracy, this is a theme on the podcast. I am way too old. All I'm trying to be is a Gen Zer. It's like my one and only like passion in
That's
life.
Hilarious.
I do all the fucking dances. No one sees me. No one looks at me. I am trying to get at the algorithm.
Wow.
It doesn't work. Okay, regardless.
This is like embarrassing.
I don't. It's not
point.
Embarrassing. It's my truth, and this is how I live. Okay, so what I was
you
saying.
You
got to
be authentic.
Yes, you got to be authentic. So there is a trend going on, and obviously it's going on Instagram as well, but I discovered it on TikTok, are these really cute claw clips. And
yeah,
I have one that's tortoise shell, got it on Amazon, maybe $5, amazing. And the funny part about it is our mother has been wearing, yes, has been.
I was going to say our mom's been wearing these
so
forever.
Our mother has been wearing claw clips since the day we were born and before they were cool. And
they're
so chic. And I have curly hair.
Wait a minute. Before they were cool. Like, no, they've always been cool.
No,
I've always used. I have drawers of like 50 of them.
Yeah. You guys, I'm the resident young person here.
If you
and
have
I just
curly
wanna
hair.
Tell, I just want to tell the masses that they're back, okay? They weren't in, and now they're back. And so
I agree.
So now I went to my mom, and I was like, Mom, like—
Wait, I'm sorry. How okay. did you find this out on TikTok?
All the girls are wearing them.
Oh, okay. So you got the vibe that
got
they're
the
back.
Vibe.
There okay. wasn't like a – there's not like a thing about them
no,
on TikTok.
It's just
oh, okay.
the, trendy,
you picked up on it.
The trendy TikTokers—
got it.
They
got it.
Are wearing them left and right.
Okay.
So,
got it.
So I went to my mom and I was like, Mom, like, they're back. The claw clips, look at me. I'm wearing them. And it's, you know, I don't know how to put them in my hair. So she taught me how to twist it.
Aww.
And it's very cute. It's like a very cute accessory. And I'm here for it. And I finally figured out how to wrap my hair in it. And it's a vibe. I think it's good.
It's the best. Got a pulse and piece. I actually never wear my hair in a ponytail, and I wear these claw clips every day.
Really?
And I But only I've only worn I wear them because my hair is so curly that to give myself some nice and volume, I do this, and then I just pull down like random pieces.
So cute.
My hair is so oily, and then it looks like maybe like I have an updo, but not.
Love it.
I need to get this clip because I've been wearing my hair curly, but I need to really pull half back, half, you know, half up, half down situation.
I've always
so
been,
Mads, will you send me the link?
Yeah, I've always been a ponytail person, but now I'm moving into the claw clips. My only qualm is you can't lean back. You can't like
totally
lean back on a chair. I was leaning back. I was like, wait, fuck. Like I can't sit. So that's an issue. So you can't be sitting.
Yeah.
That is an
can't
issue.
Have any headrest.
No headrest with the claw clip.
No.
Well, you know, you got to weigh the pros and cons.
Yeah,
in life,
you got to,
you know,
look like
mean?
A Gen right. Z TikToker, or you got to be comfortable. That's really so, the only options here. Okay, Tracy, what is your current fixation?
My current fixation is that my daughter needs to be double swaddled because she has flaily arms and they wake her up, and I don't know how to do a cloth swaddle. So we bought her this thing called the Ollie, and like moms listening to this will be like, duh. But anyways, because it's like, you know, everybody knows about the Ollie, but I didn't because I was not a mom. And it's like a Velcro strap in stretchy thing, and it keeps her arms down and it makes her sleep better. And I think it's almost like a weighted blanket for us. This is what like this Ollie thing is for her. So I didn't know. My mom was like, we didn't do that to you guys. Like, what did you do? Just like flail around and wake yourself up? Like, this is like completely different than the way we raised you, and you slept on your face and you had blankets in the crib and like all this stuff. And now it's so different than when we were babies. And so I think my current fixation is my child's Ollie.
The swaddle is supposed to make them feel like they're back in the womb. So they're
right.
Like in a tight, like tight. Curled
yeah.
up
she
space.
Loves it.
Yeah. And also tip, because I took an early childhood development class. Not that I'm a mother by any means. I have two dogs, but that's about it. But if you do a shh sound in their
yes,
ear,
we have that too.
Yeah. It makes them feel like they're in the womb again and they'll like pass out.
It's weird. Yeah. It's called the baby shusher. And we have it like right next to her crib. So when we put her down, we turn it on and it like has a 15-minute timer and it just goes shh for 15 minutes.
That is wild.
And it annoyed me so much at first, and now I don't even hear it.
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay, wait. So this is a perfect transition. You're a new mom. It's quarantine. Talk to us about kind of the mommy content, because you just said like everyone who's a mom knows this, but I didn't. And like, so have you been venturing into the mommy sphere on Instagram or at all?
No,
you're not there.
No interest.
Okay, great.
I have no desire to be like a mommy blogger or first of all, I feel like it's the most saturated blogging like atmosphere ever. Like sometimes I start to get into a hole and then I'm like, how many people can tell me what diapers I'm supposed to be buying or whatever it is? It's not that, but like there's way too many people out there telling others what to do. I also love to just like figure stuff out on my own. So I'm cool with exploring products myself. I actually made an Excel sheet that had like all my stuff I actually used for the first month of having my baby, because I didn't do like any research beforehand really. And so that was very unlike me to even do anything like that, because I just sent it to my friends. I'm not trying, or and like my Instagram followers, I'm not trying to like become a mommy blogger, mostly because I don't think I could take the shame. Like people are so mean to mommy bloggers that like I'm too sensitive to put myself out there. Like, I don't want you to see a picture of my baby in the car seat, because it's going to be wrong no matter, even if it's perfect, it's wrong. Like, I don't want you to see my damn baby in the stroller, it's wrong. Like,
that's so true.
I'm cautious of like what I post of her, because I'm not trying to hear it about how I'm about to kill her or something. Like, she's fine.
Well, Sivan Ayla, a blogger who we had on the podcast, I was watching her stories the other day, and I don't know what the impetus of this criticism was. It was about like her, I don't know, maybe it was sleep stuff. And people were like, you are traumatizing your daughter for life. And she was like, please get the fuck away from me with that shit. So annoying. That's crazy.
You know what's best for your baby. Like, not every baby is the same. Like, that was something my mom had to get over because my mom's living with us to help me. And it was like, she had to realize my baby is not how me and my sister were. And she had to like adjust, you know?
And there's like new, it feels like there's newer technology, there's newer products, there's newer methods.
It's totally different. Yeah.
Yeah, but and not only that, we don't know what's good for them. They're fucking little. We don't know what's going to imprint them, you know, in 10 years, what they're going to remember and what they're not. You just do what feels intuitively best for you as a mother.
Exactly.
Pray they end up okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I also think as far as like looking at mommy bloggers and stuff, like I feel pretty set on like her schedule and what she has and her products. Like, if I was seeking out, like, okay, she needs a new, like, bathtub or something, then maybe I'd, like, go online and look. But really, I just ask, like, my two friends that have babies already and just see what they use and copy them. And I don't, like, it just feels, I don't know, the mommy blog sphere seems, like, negative a lot. And I just don't really want any part of that.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It's also, like, really inundated with information. It's just very hard to mine
so much
through.
Information.
Yeah, I can imagine it
and
be
you
so
if you can find exactly the answer you're looking for opposite, like if it's like is it safe to do this, you can find 10 that say yes and 10 that say no. So it's like you can find the answer you're looking for
in your trusted, you know, network. Like ask around. Let's not venture into that world. Okay, but we do want to talk about She Just Knows.
Wait, I have one more mom question.
Okay,
just one more mom question, because I think I'm your age, and you know, the babies are in the, you know, I'm at that age, right? But every time I talk to people about kids, they're like, "Oh, you just wait." Like, it's this fucking death sentence. And I'm sick and tired of other parents scaring other non-parents.
So I don't know what the hell they're going through, but
can I have your, like, complete opinion on the transformation between...
People said that to me, like, oh, get ready. And I'm like,
you're never going to sleep again.
It's all bullshit. Like, you create that, like, vibe. Mm-hmm. If you are, like, anxious and nervous and stressed out, then that's how your household's going to be, and that's how the baby's going to feel, and that's the life you create for yourself. If you go into it like, okay, I'm made to do this, I know what's right. What I always told myself is like, I have it pretty good as far as like being a parent is concerned. I have a home, I have enough money to buy necessities, diapers, everything. Like, think about the people who live in, you know, third world countries, whatever, who take care of babies, have their babies, they grow up to be fine. Like, I'm so much better I'm way better suited, you know, in terms
equipped.
Yeah, I guess.
In terms of resources.
In terms of things, yeah. And I just always tell myself, like, you would have to try really hard to screw this up. Like, it's not... I mean, also my mom's living with us, and I cannot take away that changes everything, because like right now I would be wearing her if my mom was not here. But like all day today, I needed to still work. So I wear her and my baby Bjorn, and I work on the computer and I ship orders, and then I put her in the car seat and we drive to the post office. Like, I just do everything that I need to do with her, and she just comes along with me and she's fine. So I don't agree with like, you'll never sleep again. Like, yeah, I sleep less, but like, I'm actually excited sometimes to wake up in the night because I want to see her again, because she's so cute. Like, I love her so much. Like,
that's I completely agree with that sentiment, and I think I've also been completely scared away from having children anytime soon, only because I'm like, I love my freedom too much, and I love I love my lifestyle. I love you know, and everyone says that like, oh no, you live for someone else. When, like your wants and desires and wishes.
I mean,
are
you
done.
Do. Yes, of course. Like, she is my first priority. But like the other night, one of our best friends is pregnant, and I hadn't seen her in so long. So we did like a drive by to see her, and it's like, so then the baby just comes. Mm-hmm. Like,
she just joined. She comes for a long.
She just comes. Yeah. The only thing is like getting out of the house takes longer.
Right.
because you have to like pack an extra bottle and change of clothes. But like, other than that, she's an amazing addition to our existing life versus this whirlwind that took over our life and we don't have our lives anymore.
Right. I love that. And so how was it having a quarantine baby? Like, was it nerve wracking or do you think it was actually a blessing because it was like, we're all just rooted here and I have to stay and learn all this immediately?
I think that it was the biggest blessing. Mm. As far as being pregnant during quarantine, it was great because no one invited me to do anything and I didn't want to do anything and I didn't want to get dressed. So it was like, oh, I can stay at home and wear sweats for the last 2 months of my pregnancy. Like, hell yeah, this is a dream come true. So in that respect, it was great. The only thing that it really affected was the hospital. I could only have my husband come, which I would have had my family and, you know, my sister and my mom and his parents and everything. So that was, I mean, I don't know any different. So it was normal for us for it to just be the two of us there. But I know that that's not, it wouldn't have been the case otherwise. But we had a great experience. We loved it just being the two of us. It was really intimate and it was like such a special bonding time for us with this huge life change happening. It was kind of nice to just be alone. And then now her coming home, it's like, you're not really supposed to take your baby out that much anyway, I guess, when they're this old. So I'm still chilling at home. Like, it's really not, it's kind of been the best, to be honest. So
I love that.
I highly recommend a quarantine baby.
highly recommend having a baby during quarantine if we're here for another
year. The only time I actually like freaked out was when they were saying that no one could come with you. And like when they were saying
that's
husbands
bad.
Couldn't even come, then I was like, oh, fuck this. Like, I'm, count me out, like something. I was going
home
to
birth.
Like storm the Capitol. Like, that was not going to work out for me. But that changed quickly. So it worked out.
Amazing. So, okay, so let's talk about She Just Knows. You started it in 2015. I kind of want to just ask, like, was it your intention to start this lifestyle, you know, media outlet and have it become a lucrative business or have it become your full-time job? Like, was that always the intention or was it just more of a hobby? Because we hear a lot of women that come on our podcast where they just started it as a hobby and then it like really blows up and they take it seriously enough.
No, I quit my job to make this my job.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was working at Forever 21 and I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't know how, when, where, what it was going to be. I knew it would be in fashion in some way, but I didn't know what it was going to be. And when you work for Forever 21, like, or I'm sure any job, you know, you don't have a ton of time to be trying to seek out a side business or anything like that. And so I got to a point where I was so burnt out from drive. It was really like driving from where I live to downtown every day was just, it was like 2 hours each way. I was like so miserable just with the drive. I loved my job, but I just was like, this isn't a way to live. Like, I can't do this anymore. So I just was like, I'm going to quit and I'm just, this has to work. Like, I don't know what it is. I didn't know if it was a lifestyle business. I didn't know if it was, consulting. I didn't really know what it was, but I was like, I'll figure it out. I have like 3 months worth of like savings and I just have to make something happen here. Like, this is what I need to live. I can do it. And so I quit. And then when I quit, they actually offered me to stay on as a freelancer. So I basically just left, but was continuing like to have money. So that was like the biggest blessing because then I didn't feel so much pressure to like just settle on what She Just Knows was going to be because I needed to make money. I actually got to like figure out what I liked doing and what was making money. I had time and flexibility because money wasn't like my number one driving force at when I first left, but I quit without thinking that I was going to still have a job from them. So it was the biggest blessing that they kept me on. So I basically just like was like throwing darts and trying to see what would work and what would make money. So I was trying to do like bridal consulting. I was trying to do like gift, like you need a gift for someone, I'll help you pick it out. Just literally any, I was like, what am I good at? What can I do? This is what I can offer. And it was just like all over the place and it wasn't streamlined. And what I found when I reached out to companies was in 2015, all people wanted was Instagram help, like Instagram and Facebook. And I was like, okay, I can do this. So I just started doing Instagram for people, for companies. And I ended up getting to like 121 accounts that I was managing. And it was like,
wait, is that possible?
Yeah. I was doing like, I was posting every day for probably like 20 of them and then working on engagement for the rest.
Oh,
and growing their accounts. And my husband was like kind of helping me a little bit, but he has like his own business. So he was in and out of that really fast. And then I had to take a step back and be like, I can't do this like all by myself. And I, every time I hired somebody, it like just didn't work out. I hired one girl as an intern and then she got there and she was like, and I interviewed her and everything. And then after the first day, she's like, I didn't know this was an internship and I want like a title.
Oh gosh.
Like, what? I'm paying you. Like I was paying her as an intern, you know, but she like didn't want her title to be intern. She wanted it like a different title. And I was like, so confused. Why are you here? Just so.
Then she left.
Yeah.
Oi, oi, oi. So, okay. So how
it started as social media stuff.
Right.
But then has transformed now into this like shop and me more.
Yeah.
I guess.
But you talk about what you offer on shop, on your website and all the different creations that you make.
So I would say my number one, seller is the necklace you're wearing actually. And I sell a lot of jewelry and I basically wanted it to be a place like I feel like I'm always looking for simple jewelry that's not going to like make my ears infected or you know like I wanted simple easy stuff that was good quality but not so expensive. So all the jewelry I have is at least gold plated or sterling silver, so it's not going to like turn your skin colors and you know be weird like that, but it's all under like most of my jewelry I would say is under $50. And that's like that has always been my goal. Is you can shop at Forever 21 or shop at H&M or whatever, you don't have to buy the cheap looking stuff. Like you can find the stuff in there and make an outfit that looks really expensive if you just have the right eye to know what to get. And so I wanted to make it accessible and good quality, and I would rather make less money and like sell more to people who actually appreciate it than I could sell stuff for way more and sell less of it, but like, I don't feel good doing that. Like, yeah. That's not my purpose in life.
So is most of it for the apparel, because I mean, it's just so unique and obviously very chic. Is it thrifted things? Like how do you gather the curation?
So basically I'll buy like a blank coat, let's say from a vendor, and I have like bins and bins of fabrics. And so then I'll just sit down on my garage floor and put like, I call them my blanks. So I'll put like all my blanks out, like sweater, jacket, you know, jeans, whatever it is. And then I'll take all my fabrics and kind of like just mess around on all of them and see like, okay, adding like this Gucci patch to this just like makes this way cooler. And I wish Gucci made this, but they didn't. So I'm making it for them. Which is like, whatever, probably not the best thing, but anyway.
Of the brands reached out to you and were like, yo, this is cool? And like, no. Because whenever I see it, I'm like, whenever I see your Instagram and I see these, it's like a curation, like it's like this like piece of art almost, I think like, oh, this is from Chanel and then Tracy is just repurposed again. No, but it's like you create something out of these thrifted pieces.
I know somebody asked me like, oh, you should like be a product developer for them. I'm like, they probably hate me because like, I don't think they want to be my friend.
But you're giving them technically a lot of free publicity.
I don't do it because I want to like scheme against them. Like, I appreciate the brand so much. And I think it's that cool that I want to like make my own spin on their stuff, you know?
Exactly.
And it is definitely more of like an art creativity outlet than a, like, I'm just pushing like, you know, fake stuff or whatever.
And it comes off that way. It's exceptionally unique. Well, it's one of a kind. It's custom. But most stuff is one of one. Yeah. But it's still this like authentic, like classic feel as well.
I only want to make stuff that I would wear. And sometimes I have to like pull myself back and be like, okay, this is like, this would be really easy to just make right now, 'cause this is the stuff I have or whatever. But then I have to take a step back and be like, this is my brand. I'm putting my name on this. Like, I don't want to just make something to make it. I want to make something that I want for myself, because that's why people follow me and that's why they like my stuff, is because of what I chose and what my style is. And I have to remember, like, they're buying this because I'm influencing them to buy it. So why am I going to promote something that I myself don't even really like or wouldn't wear? So I tried to be really mindful of not just putting stuff out there that I know would sell and putting stuff out there that I actually think is cool and want you to have and feel confident in.
I love that. And it's almost like a collage, right? So pulling from different inspirations, pulling from history, pulling from past fashion designers, almost like a nod to them in a sense, like
totally.
Like a salute, almost like a shrine to them, but then putting your modern and also your applicable, like your accessible,
right,
to people.
You couldn't, you could never, like, I made a moto jacket and covered like the arms in Louis Vuitton fabric. If I were to buy that from them, it would be like $2,500 minimum, you know, like there's just, I mean, most people can't do that, you know? And so it's a way to like honor street style and fashion that, you know, if you wanted to save up and it's $180, like most people could make that work over like a certain amount of time or whatever it is.
I really loved how you said, I mean, you know, the annoying phrases like be authentic, be yourself, and like you hear this type of advice over and over, but you said it in a really eloquent way that it's just like, this is my place, this is, I know my audience so well, and the reason I'm so in tune with them is because I listen and I understand what they want from me, and I need to always have that, like, that base, that like home base that I keep coming back to. And yes, of course,
I have to remind myself all the time.
Of course you can, you know how to go above and then go off the base and sell X amount, whatever, but you understand the longevity of and the durability of your audience and what will
and
have
it's my integrity.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I don't want, I never want to be a person that just like I know sell out is like such a lame term, but like I have no purpose to sell out. Like, that's not, doesn't benefit me, doesn't make me feel good as a human. Like, I don't need money that bad, like, to where I would do something that doesn't feel good to get people to buy stuff or whatever it is.
Exactly.
It sounds like everything you do is quite intentional and quite mindful, like
very,
there's a thought process behind everything, no matter very, if it's just a one piece product that you only have one of, or if it's something you more mass produce like your jewelry. It sounds like everything is really rooted in a place of intention, creativity, and almost uniqueness, like this it's almost like the anti-mass, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's applicable for the masses.
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting. I love that.
Yeah, I just, when it's something you're passionate about, it's hard to settle, you know? And that's why it's all I think about. It's, my husband calls me browser, because all I do is like, I'm browsing online all day at like, whether it's furniture or Pinterest or whatever it is, like I'm constantly absorbing different things that inspire me and constantly trying to put that out there and translate it so that I can bring the happiness that that stuff gives me to other people. Like when people buy stuff that's like from my home stuff, and I see them like having a dinner party and using these vintage glasses I sourced, like I literally would give it to them just because I want them to be happy and have this experience, you know, like it's more to me than just a business. It's changing people's experiences of shopping and collecting merchandise that's meaningful to them. Like everything in our house, I can tell you a story behind it. Like I don't just go to wherever, I don't know, CB2 and just like buy painting. Like everything that I do is intentional, with whether it's my house or the goods I'm selling or whatever it is. It's never just a space filler. It's always intentional.
I love that. You said your passion, if it's your passion, you'll never settle, which is just, I mean, that's a great reminder. If you're settling for things and it's probably not what you're supposed to be doing,
it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So let's talk more so about your personal brand. So you kind of, you know, transition into a personal brand off of the consulting side thing that you were doing, and it kind of cemented into that. Was that something you've always felt comfortable doing, sharing your life? Okay. And then kind of just talk about like the aesthetic, because for me, when I go to your page, it feels like a mood board. You know, you are posting, you're always posting things that are like not in your exact environment, you know, it's inspiration.
Right.
It's
inspiration.
Mood.
Yeah.
It's a mood board. And I don't think a lot of like influencers and these types of individuals, content creators do that, because it's usually like, okay, this is my house. You have to only see my house and my life and da da da. But it's
right.
like, no.
Or it's product placement.
Right.
Or
and
ads.
You're,
or whatever.
And you're like an extension of your brain a little bit. It's like, okay, this is somewhere I'd love to go. This is the vibe. This is whatever. This is what I want to curate. So talk to us a little bit about that strategy.
So when I started the Instagram page in 2015, I was only posting, and this was before there was like, now there are like so many pages that are just mood boards, like, which I follow and love, but no one was really doing that in 2015. And so I was basically just having it be an extension of like my Pinterest, but like in real time. So I was taking all my inspiration pictures from Pinterest that I had and just posting them on there with like no caption really. And then after like a few months, I finally was like, okay, maybe I'll show my face and like turn this into like my style. And so then I started adding some of my style in with the inspiration stuff, but it was important to me to continue to do that because I don't care about selling what I'm wearing. I care about like showing you how to wear, like inspiring you to how to wear something, or inspiring you to like open your mind to travel to this place, or inspire you to maybe change something in your house based on like something you saw on the images I'm posting. So like those don't perform as well as when it's my face, but I don't give a shit. Like that's what makes me happy. It's my Instagram, it's my page. If you want to follow and be inspired with me and like chat about it, then I would love to. Otherwise, like there are plenty of other people for you to follow that post themselves, you know, all the time. And not saying I don't do that, because I definitely do, but I do it because I want to, because I want to show you something, not because like I have a schedule that, okay, I need to show my face today because I have to promote X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm. That's a really refreshing outlook when it comes to social media, just because I think people are always after the followers. They're after that audience. They're
right.
after people kind of chasing them.
I don't need the reassurance. Like,
right.
I'm good.
And that's something, and I kind of think when you have that mindset, it's kind of interesting, because when you have that mindset, then the followers come, because you're attracting people that actually want to engage with you and that actually care about you rather than chasing them down, which I think is a...
I'm not chasing... I don't want to chase a damn person.
Yeah.
I don't want to chase anybody. And my husband makes fun of me because I have like probably 15 girls that I talk to like 3 times a day on Instagram that I have never seen or met. And like, we're just like friends now. And I want that. Like, people will send me stuff like, oh, this made me think of you, like people I've never met before. And I'm like, I love that. It makes me so happy. Like if I can just bring any sort of like happiness or inspiration to somebody, then I've done what I've set out to do. You know, I didn't sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, that mindset like really takes a super grounded, confident person to not get caught up in metrics or reputation or
I never look.
Yeah, all that stuff. That's, I mean, it's really commendable. And it just goes back to this intentional, mindful, wholesome, cultured vibe that you like to put out at all times, which I think with that greater mission is the reason you're successful. You know, it's the reason the people that follow you because
right.
they're looking for that message.
And what's weird is I've always been like kind of an oversharer. Like even in high school, I had like a Zanga, whatever, like a live journal.
Yeah.
And like with
oh,
this
yeah,
post,
I forgot about those.
Too much information, like, you know, like my boyfriend broke up with me and or whatever. Like I was always an oversharer. And so I was always the one that posted all the pictures on Facebook, like from our weekend. Like I just have always shared. I don't know what it is. So it comes really naturally for me to kind of continue that into Instagram as an adult. But I think that something else that helps me, which I don't even realize, is I literally think I'm posting to like my husband, my mom, and like three of my friends. So when like somebody random will write me, or if I see somebody out and they recognize me, I'm like, why? Like, how do you know who I am? Like, because my brain is that like these, like it's not real or something. Like I never look at how many people look at my stories or who looks at my stories. Like I just go on about my life as if I'm posting for just my like close friends and family. And I think that helps me to feel more comfortable because I'm not in my head being like, oh my God, 40,000 people are going to see this. You know, like that never crosses my mind ever. It's like, oh, I'm posting this because my dad asked me what I'm doing today. Or like, you know, it's never, never like contrived like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's why that's like very similar to our podcast, because like the three of us are just talking, and when I'm talking to the people that we interview, I'm never thinking about who's going to listen to this. I'm really just focused on the conversation at hand. And I think that's what makes for real content.
For sure. And you can tell, you can totally tell yeah. like when it's really thought out and doesn't feel natural. And then it's just kind of like a turnoff, and you can't relate to somebody who's putting on a show.
Yeah,
exactly.
Should we ask our favorite question?
Oh yeah.
I'm nervous.
Okay, if you had to brag about one thing that you've accomplished in your life, it can be career, personal, whatever you want, and don't be humble, what would you brag about?
Oh God. I think my relationship with my husband.
Oh, I love that.
So tender. I know you guys have been together for a while.
Yeah, we were next door neighbors in the dorms. But the reason why I'm proud is because we have, when we dated like all throughout college and then living in LA after, and we've probably broken up like 87 times, like during that time frame, and, you know, wronged each other and were mean to each other and, you know, had ups and downs and whatever. And then I ran into him at Coachella in like 2014, maybe. I think it was 2014.
We're all good.
I was having a panic attack. Yeah. Well, I was having an anxiety attack because the crowds.
Everyone had. Same. Scout literally couldn't. She didn't go to the last day because she was like, I'm out.
No, my friends call me like 1 hour Coachella. Like I can't.
Yes, that's like, me.
I was having a panic attack. I saw him and we hadn't spoken in like 6 months. And I was like, hey, remember me? Like, I'm freaking the fuck out. Can you come sit with me? And he was like, no questions asked, like came and sat next to me and was like with me, helped me like leave and whatever, go home. And then we like started chatting again, moved in together a month later, made a pact that we will not talk about our past wrongdoings and all the reasons we broke up and all the stuff that made us angry, and focus on the fact that at the end of the day, like, we are each other's person and we don't want to fight because we want to be together. So what's the point of fighting and bringing up past stuff? And we've lived to that. And it's been like, you know, since 2014. So we've like really I don't hold him a grudge against him for stuff he's done, stuff he did when he was 18 and vice versa. And it's been it's like the biggest blessing in my life to have like a healthy relationship.
That's beautiful. I love that so, so much. Oh, that makes me happy. Because whenever Mads asked me one time what I was most proud of, and I said my marriage, and Mads was like, oh, that's amazing. Yeah, because it is something to be proud of, because I think people don't understand how much intention, back to intention, goes into it. But
yeah,
that was really, really beautiful. Okay, tell everybody where they can find you, where they can get their initial gold pendant and match with me and Mads.
You can match at www.shejustknows.com, and you can follow me personally on Instagram at shejustknows, or the shop is at shopshejustknows.
Amazing. And you can find us at OKSis Podcast. Thanks, sisters.
Love you, sisters.